The reader who peruses the pages of the New Testament will be struck at once by a transformation of the profoundest magnitude through which the apostles pass between the stories about them in the Gospels and the stories about them in the book of Acts. As we meet these 12 men in the Gospels, they're fishermen from the little region of Galilee. They probably rarely ever in their lives left that tiny space of a few square miles around that little lake called the Sea of Galilee, where they plied their trade from their boats and pulled their living from the sea. They weren't formally educated. Jesus didn't call them from among the chief priests or from the learned doctors of the law or the scribes. They didn't command economic influence or political power. They had no armies and no soldiers. They knew nothing of Greek philosophy or of Roman law. They would have been strangers in the halls of power of the ancient world in which they lived. And yet, the Lord chose them to change the world. As we read the stories about them in the Gospels, even after that act of boldness in which they leave their nets behind to follow Jesus Christ when he calls them, they're still presented to us as a sort of ragtag band. So often they don't understand what Jesus is saying. They're lost in petty rivalries, bickering with one another about who's the greatest. And when the great test comes and the Lord stands at his trial and undergoes his passion and his death, they're scattered away, fearful, terrified, huddled behind locked doors. And Peter, their leader, who had boasted that he would go and have the courage to die with Jesus, denied his Lord when it came to the point. These men were chosen by Jesus Christ to change the world. Their preaching would challenge an empire. It would rock the course of history. It would set the course of history forever in a different direction. In fact, we are gathered here today, 2,000 years later, on a continent which they didn't even imagine existed because of the work that the apostles did as they preached the gospel by their lives and by their deaths. As we encounter them in the book of Acts, they are like completely different men. There they are in the second reading that we heard today, boldly standing before the same authorities which before made them cower in fear, boldly telling them it's right for us to obey God rather than men. They preach with wisdom and with power. Thousands flock to their message. They have the courage to leave behind their home, the tiny little provincial town in which they lived their entire lives, to challenge an empire and to win it for the faith of Jesus Christ. Whence came this transformation? Whence came this newfound courage? Today is the third Sunday of Easter. As we walk through this season of 50 days, the church stretches out the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ so long for 8 Sundays because we're unable to take it all in one look. We need time to walk around the mystery, to behold it from different angles, to internalize what it means for us. And the readings that we have today help us to peer into the meaning of the Lord's risen life and the change that it worked in the apostles, the change that it would also work in us. Where does their courage come from? This morning, I want to suggest there are two answers to that question in the readings that we have today. The first is that their courage came from an encounter with Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And the second is that their courage came from Christian love. They saw the risen Lord. That's what changed them. Before they knew about his resurrection, they were huddled in fear. After they met him, they were completely transformed. The event, when you think about it, transforms everything, and especially the fear of death. Before they were on the run from the authorities, afterwards they could boldly challenge them to their face because the fear of death had lost its sting. They had seen their Lord die on the cross. They had seen his empty tomb. They had seen him alive. They knew that he held the keys of death and hell. They were filled with that courage which is expressed in the victory chant of St. Paul. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The terror of death is broken, its power frustrated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb. And the light that shone out of that tomb on the first Easter morning was shining in the eyes of the apostles as they faced down the possibility of persecution and death. It has been shining for centuries in the souls of Christians, in hospital rooms, on battlefields, over the smoke of war, by tombstones. That light, which first shone from the tomb, has shed its quiet glow. And ears, enlightened by faith, can still hear the angelic voices saying, "He is risen, just as he said." And hearts, which believe, can still be filled with the boldness and the courage that comes from the victory of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to say about this courage of the apostles that we see in our readings today is that it came from Christian love. Imagine this encounter on the shore of the sea that St. John describes in the gospel today. There are the apostles fishing. There's Peter trying to reckon, perhaps, with what he did. How, when he was asked by that campfire on the night of the Lord's Passion, he said that he didn't know the Lord 3 times and heard the cock crow. And then he heard the message that Jesus was alive, and he looked into the empty tomb. And he's met now on more than one occasion the risen Lord, and perhaps he's wrestling with the thing that he's done. And he sees Jesus standing on the shore of the sea, and he dives into the water, and in humility says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And 3 times, Jesus asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" 3 times. 3 denials by that campfire a few days before. 3 opportunities to profess his love for Jesus Christ. And every time Jesus asks him, and Simon Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Jesus then directs his attention forward to the mission which he is now entrusting to his care, "Then feed my sheep." That love, which was in the heart of Peter, that love, which was strong enough to cover over a multitude of sins, was calling him to give the rest of his life away, devote himself to preaching the gospel, to leave behind the Galilee he knew, to come eventually to Rome and the seat of empire, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that love would strengthen him for everything that he would have to suffer. You see in the gospel story today how Jesus links Peter's love together with his martyrdom. He tells him, "Peter, when you were younger, you were able to dress yourself and decide where you wanted to go, but when you were older, someone else will lead you. They'll stretch out your hands." And St. John adds, he said this to prophesy the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. The tradition tells us that that prophecy would be fulfilled some 30 or 35 years later in the city of Rome, as the Romans led Peter to a cross, crucified upside down, the tradition says, because he asked not to die in exactly the same manner as his Lord. I want to close with this. As we imagine St. Peter, decades after his denial, decades after that day by the seashore, where he professed his love for Jesus Christ, we imagine him in a strange city looking at the cross that he had run away from before, the cross that he was now ready to embrace in courage and in love. As he looked at that cross, we must imagine that he remembered the light which shone in glory from the risen body of the Savior. We must imagine that he remembered peering into that empty tomb with St. John and took courage from the fact that his Lord had already won the victory over death. And he must have remembered that day by the shore of the sea when Jesus asked him three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" At length, he would answer it with his life and with his blood. And St. Peter now reigns in the glory of heaven with Christ his Lord, a sharer in the eternal life which was stronger than death, stronger than persecution, stronger than fear. He reigns in glory now, having trampled every enemy underfoot in courage. That same transformation of life, that same courage, is available to us if we will let the love of Christ grow in our hearts, make us willing to sacrifice and willing to suffer, willing to lay down our lives for the one who so loved us. If we do that in great ways and in small ways, we will share also in his victory and in his life, as Peter did in that cross and now in the glory of heaven, victorious in life, victorious in death, strengthened by that courage, which is the power of love.